Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for drawing us to your presence tonight. Thank you for the hunger you placed in our hearts for more of you. Father, thank you for making us realize that you are the source of our life. Our dependency is on you. You are the fulfillment of our destiny. And Father, we thank you for the grace to wait upon you. Thank you so much for what you're doing in the life of your children. Father, I pray tonight that you will encourage us. You will confirm to us again and renew our expectation, knowing that we're doing your will. Father, thank you for revealing your ways to us. Have your way tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank God for every one of us tonight on the line. Such a pleasure. It's a blessing to be with family. To be with those who are of like mind, hungry, thirsty for more of God. We thank God for so many across the world that are doing the same thing we're doing, so we're not alone. Tonight, I was just looking at personally, you know, occasionally I was just kind of review, you know, from my personal experience, some of the ways that God comforts me or inspires me or helps me overcome times of trials, times of questioning, times of just transitions and stuff. And no matter what the situation may be, there are ways that God has always revealed himself in a way that brings comfort, brings encouragement, and brings elevation in the things of the Spirit. So I realized that as humans, we are not alone. By nature, as long as we live in this world, we go through various seasons in our lives, various trials or various situations that creates an opportunity for us sometimes to say, God, where are you? Or God, why are you not responding in this situation? Or your response is not what I'm expecting. Or why are you not saying anything? And if we're not going through that, sometimes we know people that are going through that. Or we're close to people that are going through that. We prayed sometimes, we don't see the answers the way we expect. Sometimes we've fasted, we've done different things. So occasionally, God allows me, sometimes he's taking me to a new place, but I don't know that's how he's going to bring it about. But it's after he's done it, then he opens my eyes to see. But if I was told that's the way he's going to take me to the next level, I would not expect it, I would not believe it. So out of that, I am beginning to find out there are keys that God has given to us. And each of these keys really help us to be established, deeply grounded in the things of God. And also comforted and inspired in times of challenges and trial. That's why there is no temptation, there's no trial. Paul was saying to the Corinthian church, nothing that we go through that God has not made a way for us to escape, to find comfort. God will never put us beyond what we can handle. But sometimes it looks that way. It's just that we've not applied the keys as we should. Once we apply them, you know that God has made provision above everything we go through. I want to share with you tonight one of the keys that literally runs right into the heart of God. And that key brings us, no matter what we're going to, this key brings us right under the comfort, the covering, the protection, the fortress of God's love. How do we get to the heart of God? How do we get to God's heart in times of trial, or even especially things are going good, whatever, how do we get to God's heart? And how do we receive from that place of comfort in his heart? I want to read a few scriptures, and then we'll just see how that helps us receive from this. Because we're living in such a time that so many people could be going through different things, and the nations, just things, the nations, they are shaking, jobs, whatever, health, ministry, whatever it is. This particular key is really going to bring us to God's heart, because I have experienced it, and it's so real, it's so true. I want to read a few scriptures that will help us. I will start from the book of 1 Samuel. Book of 1 Samuel. I want to read from verse 1 Samuel chapter 10. This was the place where the background is, Saul was looking for his father's donkey, and Samuel was already waiting based on the revelation of the Lord to anoint him and establish him to be the king after Israel was asking for a king. So just for time, I will read from 1 Samuel 10. I will read from verse 1, and we'll jump a few verses. 1 Samuel 10, verse 1. Then Samuel took a veil of oil and poured it upon his head, that Saul's head, and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance, over his people?" So we just jump and we come to verse 6. "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. Verse 7. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serves thee. For God is with thee. For God is with thee by reason of the anointing." Verse 8. This is an instruction from the Lord. Verse 8. "And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shall thou tarry." 7 days shall thou wait for me. Till the condition is, till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And show thee what thou shalt do. Now, from the days of Moses up till the days of Samuel, God has always used prophets as oracles, because God is in covenant with Israel. Israel is not like any other nation from the time God made a covenant with them. And because of that covenant, God has made provision to speak to them, give them directions corporately and individually. And so God will use prophets. But later, God revealed himself to Moses, and God gave him the pattern for the ark. So the ark now came and became, represented the glory of God, the presence of God in their midst. So now they hear not only from Moses when God speaks to him, but they also through the high priest, and they also receive the word of the Lord from the presence of the Lord with the ark. At this time we're talking about, the ark is being taken because of the ignorance and the sin of Eli and his children. Israel have lost the ark, and the ark is out in a way in the hidden territory. So at this time, the voice of the Lord was coming through Samuel and through the ephod, where they go sacrifice they do the ephod, and then through the ephod, the oracles, the Lord will speak. But the condition is that God is in covenant with Israel, and they need to take instructions from them, especially their kings, if they were going to rule under the Lord. So Samuel now, we didn't go into that direction, but Israel asked for kings, for a king, and Saul was to be the first king. He was anointed king now, and Samuel gave him conditions, things that will happen. And Samuel says, as soon as this happened, I want you to go before me. Now you've bear witness that there's an anointing upon your life, and you have a testimony that God is with you from these signs that you'll experience. So now you go before me to Gilgal, and when you get there, you wait, because we're going to offer a sacrifice, and from that place, I will give you instructions. I will show you what you are to do as a king from that moment. So that's the background. So now let's read further. We're going to go now to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 13. For time, I'll just read from verse 5. So, of course, Samuel went to, Saul went to Gilgal and went there with all Israel, and then came there. A few things happened before that time. And then in verse 5, 1 Samuel 13, in verse 5, and the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore is in multitude. And they came up and pitched at in Mishmash eastward from Beth-heaven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a danger, in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves, in thickets, in rocks, in high places, and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. All this is hiding, running from the enemy. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, because he was asked to wait there. And all the people followed him, trembling. And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal. And the people were scattered from him, from Saul. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together in Mishmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. Now I want you to hear this, verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the word or the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord has established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Father, again, I thank you. Open our understanding, give us clarity, that we might be empowered to truly hear your heart and wait upon you. Let this key, O God, be such a reality to us that in situations of difficulty, no matter what we're facing, we know that you are there and you are able, you are more than able to take care of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Here is a situation. The word anointing means empowerment. That Saul has experienced manifestations of this empowerment, confirmations that this anointing, the Lord is with him. So now he's been given instructions based on how God works with covenant with Israel. Now, based on this covenant, going back, they have a record. Israel has never ever depended on their strength. Because of the covenant, God has always been their salvation, their deliverance. When they are few in number, God will fight their battles. God fought Pharaoh for them, opened the Red Sea. They have records when they are few in number, when there is no way they can even face the army. God comes through. So they've seen that because of that covenant, their dependency has to be on God based on the word of the Lord through the prophets or through the ark or through the ephod. But they've also seen that whenever they don't turn to the Lord, they don't listen to the Lord, they don't follow the ways of the Lord, even the smallest enemy will defeat them. Even the smallest thing will defeat them. So that's the atmosphere by which Samuel has established integrity before the people and before Saul. And then he gave Saul instruction and said, this is God now testing him. Go and wait 7 days in Gilgal. I will come and do sacrifice, and I will show you what the Lord will instruct for you to do on behalf of Israel from there. That's one. Now, in verse 13, we see a situation where Saul is now facing one of his first major trials. He confronted the enemy. They won a little battle. The enemy stirred up. And now the enemy is coming in multitudes, in an overwhelming flood. And the message is there. They are coming. They're going to wage war against them. Now, there is something about the enemy I want you to see in this passage. Say there were 30,000 these 1,000 horsemen, this, that. They were so great. So here's how it works. When Israel, because they are in covenant with God, God has been teaching them that they should not rely on their strength. So many times, Israel does not have the capacity of the enemy, so that their dependency will not be in their strength, but it will be on God. And every time, God has defended them so that the nations will know that Israel has a God. Because Israel's ability is always small. But then the nations know God fights for them. That's the testimony. But the world, on the other side, because they don't have God, or the gods they have are not like the God of Israel, the world relies on their strength. So most times, for the world to be powerful, they have to build a lot of strength. Like if it's for military, they have to build a lot of army. They have to build a lot of weapon. They have to build a lot of... They have to be strong. They have to build walls. They have to be stronger than the other army or the other nation. So the world relies on their strength. So they have to build their strength. The world relies on their financial capacity, military capacity. Anything to do with strength, that's how the world unbelievers have to depend on what they see, feel, and touch as their confidence. So God doesn't want us to be that way. Actually, God wants us, our weakness to be our strength. Because when we are weak, we tend to depend on God more than when we are strong. So, but the world has to depend on their strength because they don't have God. So there is the picture here. So now, the world now to show their strength, build up this great army, to intimidate, to terrify. So, as a human being, was afraid. And the fear that came upon him affected the people. The people saw his reaction and they all got afraid. Some of them started running for their lives, going in caves and hiding in trees, hiding in pits. They were just scattering everywhere. But Saul remained with a few army and a few people in Gilgal still waiting. So out of fear of the people, if you read the other passages in Kings, out of fear of the people, Saul said, because I fear the people. Based on the fear of the army, based on the fear that where is God, where is Samuel? At this point, Samuel represents the oracle, represents the person who stands in the gap on behalf of God for them, because the Ark of the Covenant is not there. So, God has already given instruction to Saul. Go there and wait. And now this problem started. So under fear, which we'll all face as long as we're in this flesh, things always come up that causes us to be afraid or intimidates us or challenges us before we even begin to think spiritually. So when these situations come, in the days of Saul, what did he do? The anointing is upon him, meaning God is with him. People are with him. What did Saul do? Saul immediately, out of fear, out of this challenge, immediately started abusing his power and started using his power to usurp an office that was not his office. Now, this might look very small in most people's eyes. But here is just to give you the gravity, just for time, a little bit. Samuel's office represents God's throne, God's position. Samuel brings the word of the Lord directly from the Lord. So it represents God's office, the priesthood, the high priest, oracle. Saul represents a king that is dependent on the voice of the Lord. So now Saul is saying, I'm not going to wait anymore. Okay, the Bible says he waited 7 days. But here, what it is, if you read the rest of other contents of the scripture, what it is, there's an evening sacrifice. That sacrifice has to take place in the evening. It's called evening sacrifice. There are different times of sacrifice. But once it was the seventh day, Saul, because of fear, did not wait till the evening sacrifice. He just immediately demanded, I want the sacrifice, I want the burnt offering. And he started offering, he started usurping the priest's office. He did not hear a word from the Lord. Nothing happened because he was not entitled to do that. So he did that, nothing happened. But as soon as he did that, Samuel came. Or we say God came. The Lord manifested. And when Samuel came, Samuel asked him, so why did you do this? He said, knowing fully well, he did something he was not supposed to do. He said, because the enemy was encroaching, and then my people were scattering, I'm afraid of the people, and all this stuff, I decided to do this. Absolute change, you know, absolute abuse of his office, and then stepping into God's, you know, position. Exactly what Lucifer did in heaven. He took over, wanted God's throne, God's position. But here, the point is, what happens to us when we are afraid? When fear comes or things come our way that affect us, maybe our children, our job, finances, whatever, as believers. Every one of us, as long as we're born again, we have the Spirit of God in us, we have God with us, and we are born again. It's an anointing of God upon our lives. Is it a ministry crisis? Is it a physical crisis? Is it a marriage crisis? Just name it. As long as we live here, there will be those pressure. So what happens when we face pressure in our lives? What happens when we prayed, we sought things? What happens? Here is Saul's situation. There's something Saul did not do. So But where I want to bring out this key is here. Samuel said, "So what have you done?" He said, "I did it because I didn't want to go to war without first seeking God." You know, he covered with religion. Later, Samuel said, "You have," he says, "God has rejected you. Your kingdom will not continue." That's the weight of what Samuel just did. God has rejected you, meaning God rejected his approach and what he just did. And then he made a statement. He says, God has not only rejected you, but God has now found him a man after God's heart. Has found him a man after God's heart because you have not kept the commandments of the Lord. So what is this? Right at a very difficult situation, Samuel was not talking about the enemy coming, because if Saul waited, all God would tell Samuel is, this is what you need to do, the enemy will be taken care of. You know, so, but out of fear, Saul has done his own thing, gone his own way, gone against the ways of God, and now God has rejected his way. So Samuel now showed us a key. He said, God has rejected this way of ministry. God has rejected this approach when we are afraid. But God is now revealing to us how we are to deal with fear. By God is now raised him up and sought him up a man that he will anoint, that will walk after his heart. So we all know in subsequent chapters, you see later, after when Saul was fully cut off, it was David that was anointed, and God now told David, you're going to be a king, I will anoint you to be king. So David was that man. But I just want to fast forward really quick and show you just one or two instances of why the difference that what caused Saul to be rejected and why God says, I found me a man that is after my heart. What is it that David has? What is it that David knew? What key that David carries that is already touching God's heart? That God is saying, that's the man I want to use as an example of what I'm looking for in the earth. Now, I want to read something a little bit about David. Fast forward really quickly, just the way Saul was anointed. Now we fast forward to the book of 1 Chronicles. In 1 Chronicles, from chapter 12 on, David now, Saul died. David is now anointed king of Israel. As soon as they anointed David king, the first thing David did, as soon as they anointed him king, he was setting things. This is the first thing David did before, as soon as they anointed him. Verse 13, chapter 13, 1 Chronicles 13. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seems good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also the priests and the Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves together unto us. Verse 3, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. Now, fast forward, I'll read again 1 Chronicles 16. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offering before God. Verse 4. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Here we see in a nutshell, just for the context of what I'm about to bring up here today, in a nutshell, the same Saul was anointed. Now, the person that God really has been longing for, that has found, now is anointed David. The first thing David did was, I cannot be king. I cannot rule over you. I cannot operate as king unless we bring the glory of God back. Unless we bring the ark back. And by bringing the ark means we have to inquire. We have to wait upon what is on God's heart. And then we have to record it and we have to follow the instructions. So David set up people to minister. The word minister, if you don't mind to take some time, go to 1 Chronicles 16 verse 4 and click that word. Minister means worship. It means to wait upon the Lord in worship. To wait in a position of to hear God's instruction and God's word. And to follow God's ways, God's instruction. Now here is the difference. Already in the days of Saul, anointed to be king, God has made Samuel a prophet, an oracle. So God already spoke and gave instruction exactly how he should go. And then now God gave him another instruction, go wait for me to give you further instruction. So God is already speaking, but Saul did not obey. He did not wait. He is not land waiting on God. So he allowed the intimidation, the size of the enemy to overwhelm him because he was trying to rule Israel in his strength. And so the enemy built enough strength to intimidate him. And then he started acting out of the flesh and started responding out of the flesh, and then became, God rejected him because he was responding so much to his problem in the flesh and missed the way of God. But here David, as soon as he was anointed, the same position to be king, he said, I will not even begin until we create an atmosphere for me to hear from the Lord. I cannot do anything unless we bring the ark back, meaning we have to create an atmosphere that God has made covenant with us, and then I have to wait to hear his instruction. We write it down, and that's what we're going to do. So David, here Samuel says, God, when he anoints people, or when he calls people, or God's hand is upon people, God showed us that when we are serving God in our strength, whenever we are under pressure or attack, the tendency is that we are going to take the wrong actions out of fear. But then God is saying, we have to learn from the past that now that we are God's children, we have to practice learning to wait on God even before crisis comes. Learning to wait on God through worship, through the reading the word, learning to practice applying God's word in our life even before crisis comes. So that when crisis comes, we already have the platform to respond to the enemy, not in our strength, but through the word of God. And every time we do that, it shows our dependency on God. So David learned from a young age not to rely on his strength, because David knew that as far as he's human, always the enemy will come in a greater strength in the flesh. And he does not have the capacity to confront the enemy in his flesh. So, but because he's in covenant with God, he has learned to be weak so that God can be strong. So he learned, just like Paul, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Now, our weakness is directly proportional to our dependency on God. It doesn't mean we are weak, but when we are weak means we are putting all our reliance on God. You know, but the world tries to show a lot of strength in the flesh because that's all they have. But as long as we have God, we have to depend on him, and waiting on God manifests weakness on the outside because it appears that you are not doing anything about the situation, and it appears that, what are you doing about the situation? And it appears that you need to do something about the situation. But then David waits on the Lord. And God is looking for a people who practices that. And through the life of David, you see that nobody faced crisis like David did. Nobody fought wars like David did as a king. But David never lost a battle. Except one time he was going to battle, the enemies came because he didn't wait on the Lord, and they took his children. How did David recover all? He went and did what he forgot to always do, wait on the Lord. David fought so many battles of greater army, but every step David takes, he will say, God, should I go? Should I do this or should I not? And after he fights one battle, he comes back, he wins, but then if the same battle comes up, he won't say, I'm strong now, I'm bigger than these people, I can go. No, he goes by and say, God, should I? How should I fight the next battle? So David learned that waiting on God is weakness, appears to be weak in the eyes of men, but that's what pleases God. And then God gives you a word, because all we need is the word of the Lord. Once you receive God's instruction, your enemy is finished, the problem is solved. But the ability to wait on God is the training we have to exercise. So God was trying to train Saul the beginning of his reign, to test him and to train him. And the first training was, Samuel, you're going to go when I tell you to go. Saul, you're going to wait for me 7 days. And when 7 days comes, just wait there. Now God allows situation to arise. So instead of Saul to wait, because he knows when Samuel comes, the word of the Lord will be clear, the instruction will be clear, the enemy will be taken care of. Instead of him to wait, Samuel, it appears like Samuel delayed a little bit. It's just like us. It's like my situations. It's like sometimes we prayed, we fasted, we wait, but it looks like the situation is getting worse. So what do? We unknowingly, we begin to apply other strategies, other means, just to save our face, just somehow to deliver ourselves from the situation before we get in trouble or something. So we lose the ability, we change gears. So in this scripture, I found out that the way to God's heart, exactly like Samuel said, says, I have found me a man after my heart. I found out that David manifested that. And that's why Jesus came from that very lineage. It's not a nature we have, but it's something we have to practice, because we all have that human fear, human concern, human intimidation things. But God is with us. God, we are born of God. We are all anointed. We have a covenant with God. So we have to practice, beginning with small things, small situations, to learn to wait in prayer, to wait in worship. You know, like, for example, I was waiting on the Lord for something. It was an open door. You know, I just took it because it's an open door. I'll just, you know, I trusted God. I'll just, you know, wait and just, I was taking every action to just go. But when the time came, God didn't let the thing happen the way I wanted it to happen. So, but usually, because of the magnitude of this open door and the way it is, you'll be worrying about, oh, what if this happened? Why if this? What is that? So, but I went back to the Lord and I just waited in his presence. And in this waiting, God really opened my eyes. You see, that word ministry means waiting on God. Anything about ministry is about what he wants. It's about how he wants it. It's about when he wants it. Our life is about, God is very interested in our lives. He has provided inheritance for us. He's provided so much for us. He is our Father, and everything about our lives, he has it in his heart. Nothing pleases him more than if we wait on him in the thing regarding our lives, in the thing regarding especially ministry, the things we say we want to do on his behalf. If we're not waiting on him and moving by his instruction, how are we pleasing him? After Saul was rejected, Saul was still a king for many, 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 many years and just continued but he's already been rejected. So my encouragement to us, especially this last week, the reason I'm sharing this is God so impacted, he just did something I've never experienced before. The peace in just going to God and saying, I surrender to you. You know, I surrender. I only later to find out that anything we do is about what he approves and what he does not approve. You know, so Jesus prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed in Gethsemane, but God says, you're still going to the cross. But it was something that would look shameful, appear weakness. He has all the power to stop it. He has all the power to restrain it. He can literally pray and stop. I mean, we all know he's God in the flesh. He could stop that. But with all his power, he only did what God said he would do. He submitted to the cross. But Saul was using his own power to try to save himself, even at the cost of violating God's ways. So sometimes, what do we use the things God has empowered us to do? Do we try to use it to save ourselves, or do we use it to try to please God or to honor God? So in any situation we face, God cares about us. And the greatest thing I learned this last week with this experience I just had is this scripture. I've always prayed it, I've preached it, but I finally experienced it in a deep way. That after we prayed, and the Spirit of God has prayed through us, he says, all things work together for good, for them who love God, and for those who are called according to his purpose, for whom God foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. That scripture just became so real to me that now I know what that scripture means. That scripture means to me that God, now my Father, loves me so much that no matter the situation I'm in, no matter the circumstance I'm in, if I caused it, ignorantly, I did not cause it, somebody has caused it, or I caused it. No matter the situation, how bad, whether I'm the reason or I'm not the reason, or it's out of obedience or out of disobedience, if I will come to him, wait on him, and say, Father, help me. God, show me what to do. God, I wait on you. I found out that God loves me so much as a father that whatever he allows, he has a greater plan, not only to redeem me out of it, but to elevate me to take me to another level, only if I will wait on him. So the love of God for every one of us is so big that no matter what the enemy does, no matter the situation in front of ourselves, if we will just go wait and allow God to work out the fear and the situation, you will see how God will bring you to the other side with a promotion. Just Moses went through that, waiting on God. Joseph went through that. You know, you see David especially was the perfection of it. And that's why Jesus said, a son can do nothing except what he sees the Father do. So my brothers and sisters, in these last days we are in, it doesn't matter the trial, it doesn't matter. God will walk your trials. God will walk the worst situation. God will walk the most negative situation if we will wait. Never you say it's too late, because that's what Saul, out of fear, said it's too late. And while you're waiting, no matter what happens, still surrender to God. I was praying for somebody, and I was praying for somebody, and I saw the person getting healed. The person was recovering. The person was doing well. I was excited. So I just told them, like the widow woman, we're just going to keep praying until the healing is fully manifested. So a few weeks went by, this person was doing good, and every time we go pray, this person is doing good. I mean, manifestly doing good. situations that have affected other people, and they die. So we kept praying, So all of a sudden, the person I'm praying with finally, you know, with this person said, you know what, let's just, we've tried, we've done our best, you know, maybe we're not going to wait forever for this, but let's just trust God, she might as well just, heaven is even more real to this person. Anyway, the bottom line is, we slacked and we slowed on continuing prayer. Or even if we continued, the person now died a few weeks after. So immediately when I heard it, I was troubled. I said, God, this person was healing. He was doing well. We encouraged. We believe in the scriptures. I really believed you for complete restoration. Everything. I was so, I can't tell you how I felt. But I knew I trusted God. So as I was praying, I went into prayer. That morning as I was in worship, a peace that passed all understanding just enveloped me. And God just gave me peace and said, son, you don't understand. What you don't understand is bigger than what your mind can grasp. But my peace will always tell you, I have, the right thing has been done. Just rest. The season, you know. So it's almost like, and then I received a text from this person because the husband, and he said, you know, God has, you know, this person was so much at peace. This person was so much at totally peace. And God just brought peace to the whole situation. And the whole family was at peace. And they were happy. It's almost like God knew why he prolonged the person's life. And also knew why he got to a point he allowed it go. Only God knows. But the details are God. So things we don't understand, Paul says, once we wait and surrender it to God, you are going to receive that peace. And once you get that peace, know that God has worked out all things. We came naked into this world, and we are going to live naked. The rest, anything we do, we must learn to quickly surrender to God. And just let God take us to the next level. And eventually God will give us revelation, understanding in retrospect, if we just continue. But if we don't, like Saul, we might start acting so much in the flesh, getting angry, doing so many things, and then reacting in such a way that we end up hurting the process, hurting our ways, and end up some of us backslid or going the wrong way in ministry. So I just want to encourage us. God is bigger than anything we can ever go through. And he understands and knows. So he's giving us a key. And this is the key of David. Is the ability to wait on God in every situation. As much as possible, hear from him. Receive instruction. If you don't hear from him, keep waiting. Keep praying. Keep seeking. And I believe God is more than enough to come true, to comfort us in every situation, especially in these last days. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. Father, may we never take you so familiar and so for granted. You know the very thoughts of our heart. You know everything. Father, we are human. Our soul gets troubled. But that's why you've given us your spirit. The spirit of comfort that comes only when we surrender to that spirit of comfort. So, Father, I ask today that allow this key to operate in our lives. As we deal with our marriages, as we deal with our businesses, as we deal with our jobs, as we deal with our finances, our children, as we deal with the nation, as we wait in prayer, Father, may we just, like David, like Jesus, learn to trust in you, to wait, believing that you know and you work things out in your own time. In Jesus' name, amen.